I want to read that one more time. That's one of the strong verses that God has made so real to my heart over the years. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. You understand, that's God Almighty talking there. Amen. That's God Almighty talking. And I guess that's as good a scripture as any. It's kind of like throwing a dart at the board, but just how learning how to be led by God over a period of time. I'm going to throw several things at you tonight. I'm really just some things God made real to my heart, and I'm still working on it, but I just want to try to start getting it out of my spirit. Lessons on learning to be led by God. Learning to be led by God. You know, first of all, 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful. Get that down in your spirit. Our God is a faithful God. He's not a sometime God. He's not an every once in a while God. He's not a God when he feels like it. He is faithful. God is faithful. God is a faithful God. Friends, politicians, people, and everything around us can come and go. But God is faithful. I made a statement a minute ago, and I didn't follow through with it. I want to go back and hit it again. You know, I'm believing that God's going to give us a president in the White House that goes to church. I want to say that one more time. We have the excellent track record of two, or is it three times now in 6 years? And I bet that pastor was on a psychiatrist's couch when it was all over. Anyway, hallelujah. But anyway, I've had close exposure in the last few days. And, you know, we have candidates that are born again. Not all of them are going to win. Not all of them are going to be, you know, there's a process that's going on. And then I've had two strong exposures into Mr. Cruz, and to listen to what he has to say. The man doesn't blink. He doesn't stutter. He's born again. He wants to get this country back on the road again. And he's going, you know, here's the thing. We've had a lot of ungodly things, presidential things that have happened. But everything that the president has done on his own, without the Congress, without the Senate, a right-on president, by veto and by the pen, can wipe that out his first day in office. Did you know that? I didn't know that. But a president can wipe out these ungodly decisions that have been made. It can happen. And that's why we need to pray about these elections. And then last night, I keep hearing about him, but I heard the father of Mr. Cruz last night. He's, 78 years old. And I mean, he's a lightning rod from God. Strong. I mean, these are people that love this nation. These are people that love Jesus. These are people that are born again. Amen. Genuinely born again. And I'm telling you, for about 40 minutes, he just put it out from his heart. I don't mean yelling or screaming or what I mean, but the man just right across the board. We've got to get this nation back on track. Amen. So I just wanted to say that. We have the possibility of seeing things change in this nation stronger than ever before. And I'm going to tell you something now. I'm tired of some things, but I'm energized by others. I will not, we cannot, a believer must not vote for those that are diehard on abortion or homosexuality, same-sex marriages. God torched two cities for that. And we've got to wake up. Are selling baby body parts on eBay? If that doesn't stir you up, you need to answer this altar call and come down here and get born again. If that doesn't stir you up, we will answer to God. This nation, we've got a chance to see things turn around. And so pray. That's all I'm going to say, pray. But you're sitting there, you're listening, and on location, and twice and three times again last night with the man's father, and it was eye-opening, the things that we heard. I never thought I'd hear or see anything like that again. Never thought I'd. In fact, I've never seen or heard anything like that before. But God has dropped in our lap the possibility. Pray. And it's time for, do you know that over 14 million Christians did not vote? 14 million Christians. And don't you let Pastor Bob Nick say, well, if I don't like that, I just ain't going to go vote. You'll answer to God if you don't. You'll answer to God if you don't. You know, vote for the best choice possible. Amen. So I'm stirred up. All right, let's get on the trail here. You can start it right where it is if you want to. That was just warming up there. Psalms 32 and 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. So we're talking about lessons in learning to be led by God. First of all, you've got to understand that God is faithful. God is faithful. No matter what people do, no matter what men do, God is faithful. God is faithful. Hebrews 11:11. I love that. Sarah herself judged God faithful who had promised. Thank God for women of faith. Thank God for women of faith. It's not all Abraham, honey. It took two of them. Still does. Dr. Summerall, you say anything that can't reproduce is not of God. But anyway, that's why you need a man and a woman. One man, one woman. But God is faithful. God is faithful. I mean, let that be etched in your spirit. God is faithful. No matter who's unfaithful, no matter what preacher's been unfaithful, no matter what politician's been unfaithful, no matter what, God is faithful. God is faithful. The second lesson in learning to be led by the Spirit of God is that I have witnessed this in the last 30, some of it would spill over into 60 days, but I mean the last 30 days. Strongholds of years can and are being broken. Nothing is impossible. You know, memorial services are some of the last mission fields that we have. That's the last time you got somebody. People will come to a memorial service out of respect. That's the last mission field we've got to give altar calls. People that will never darken a church door will sometimes come to a memorial service. And that's why when they come to Pastor Bob Nichols' memorial service, they're going to hear, you must be born again. Amen. Strongholds of years can be broken. They are being broken. Pulling down those strongholds, it's happening. I have seen in my own family, I have seen strongholds of years. And I'll tell you, I have paid a price for the stands that I've taken over the years. I have taken a lonely stance from time to time with other ministers, with my own family members. I've taken a lonely stance. I said, I'm going to do what's right, and that's just where I am, and that's where I'm coming from. And people got mad, and people, you know, I've gone through some strange things. It's been, some of that's been a lonely trial. But I have seen God breaking down strongholds. I mean, break them down. Kick the door down. Stomp the devil's head in the sand. Strongholds can be broken. Strongholds can be broken. And I've learned that. You see, but it comes back to this, that real godly love, agape love, never fails. You just purpose to walk in love. I used to say it. I haven't said it in a long time, but it's good. I need to say it more. You know, I can outlove anybody. I can outlove anybody. It's lonely for a while. It's strange for a while. Some weird things happen along the way. But, you know, if you lock into agape love, I can love my way through anything. I can win through anything. And I will win. I've seen it happen the last few. I've seen things happen that have taken years. I've seen it happen. I have seen it happen. I have experienced it happen. Verbally, I've heard strongholds broken. And understandings come. Well, I won't get into that side of it. But I'm telling you, just purpose in your heart to love. Hallelujah. Be a lover, not a fighter. I said, be a lover, not a fighter. Purpose in your heart through agape love, no matter what anyone else does. Amen. I'm going to walk in love. Amen. You don't have to like some people, but you got to love them. Hallelujah. Have any of you ever been through anything? Don't look at me like a cow looking at a new gate tonight. I mean, every family's got some stuff that needs to be. Every family's got some stuff that needs to be taken care of. So, God is faithful. I've learned that. God is faithful. So I want to be faithful. Hallelujah. And that strongholds of years gone by can and are being broken. Hallelujah. Strongholds of years gone by are being broken. Because real godly love never fails. There's times you got to get your second wind and pray more and cry out to God more, and God will strengthen you and he'll help you. But real godly love never fails. In fact, that's a Bible quote. Love never fails. Love never fails. Praise God. And if there are strongholds in your family or strongholds in your acquaintances, now that there's some things that people themselves have to humble their hearts. You can't make anybody do anything. But you know, as for me and my house, I can walk in love. I can love. I said, I can love. Boy, you're looking at me strange tonight. But you're going to hear it anyway. Number four, God gives us supernatural strength if we'll ask him for it in faith believing. God gives us supernatural strength. I have been on a schedule and I have had my share of strong emotional things to deal with. You know, dealing with people will wear you out if you don't let the strength of God be with you. I mean, people will wear you out. But you know what? Thank God, after 61 years of ministry, I'm not worn out tonight. I'm renewed. I'm getting renewed. Hallelujah. Praise God. God will give supernatural strength. I mean, there was one week when it was going every day and every night. And I mean, things of significance, not just trivia, but strong things, everything from death and memorial to political things that I was invited to be a part of. I mean, things that take strength and energy. And I got to thinking, you know, I haven't had a nap in 2 or 3 days. Yeah. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In the end time, we're going to have to learn how to wait upon the Lord and let God give us supernatural strength. Yeah, we have this earthen vessel. I understand that. Nothing wrong with taking care of your vessel. You need to and you ought to. In diet as well as in rest as best you can. But you know, when the choice is not yours, it's amazing what God can do. It's amazing what God can do if you'll just ask Him. You know, I mean, some people are so persnickety. If I don't get, you know, 8 hours and 13 minutes of sleep, the whole world goes to hell in a handbasket. You know, if you're going to be an end time warrior, you got to buck up. You got to grow up. There's days that you'll have less sleep. There's days that you'll have less hours to do what you wanted to do. Hey, we're not here for our mission. We're here for His mission. There's a job to do. There's a job to do. Amen. There's a job to do. God gives us supernatural strength if we ask Him. And of course, I love Isaiah 40. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word wait is exactly what a ship's rope is all about. Have you ever seen one of those? How many have seen a rope that holds a ship at dock? Has anyone ever seen? I mean, they're pretty good size rope there. But you know what? One strand would break very quickly. But what that rope is, it's several strands that just kept coming together. And you know, that's why Satan tries to bring strife and division and ugliness and tackiness and lies and innuendos into a church. He doesn't want our rope to be strong. And if he can get us fussing and feuding and fighting and divided and suspicious, you know, if you only knew what I knew. But God's weaving a rope of faith together. You take a people of faith, hell can't stop them. Hell can't stop them. Hallelujah. That big old ship, I mean, those are big old, you know. You ever just stand there at the bottom of, I haven't been around them that much, but I have been around them some. And you just keep looking up and you see in the side of that ship. But that ship is held to dock because of a rope that has been woven together. And when we are woven together on the Word and in faith and in love and in the things of God, hell can't stop us and hell can't shake us, and we will do what God's called us to do. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, there's some other insights. I'm talking about long-term being led of God. God's Word works. Stay with it. Stay with it. You know, there's some people so foolish nowadays, they say, well, it's all grace, it's not faith. Oh, get off of that. Show me a bird that can fly on one wing. You're sniffing something if you see a bird that's flying on one wing. You've been drinking the wrong thing. You've been at somebody's saloon too long. A bird has two wings. It's faith and grace. And grace provides, but faith obtains. Grace provides, but faith obtains. And so, I mean, hey, I remember the era when they thought this faith business was heresy. And I remember when Oral Roberts came out with seed faith. Oral Roberts really blazed a trail on seed faith giving. I mean, boy, that's false doctrine. How stupid can you be and still breathe? Ask the farmer, does seed work, Mr. Farmer? Does seed work? He'd look at you and think, lock this one up. Seed works when it's planted. Seed works when it's planted. It won't work in a box. It won't work in a feed store. It won't work on top of the ground. But you plant seed and seed will grow, whether it's weeds or good crop. Seeds will grow. When Oral Roberts came out with seed faith giving, I can still hear some old time, ooh, that's right. And you know, nowadays we understand that's Thank God, we're understanding that better all the time. Your life is a seed. Your words are a seed. Your money is a seed. Your obedience is a seed. Everything you do is a seed that you plant. Hallelujah. And you can plant bad seed or you can plant good seed. You can think bad thoughts or you can think good thoughts. You can say bad things or you can say good things. Amen. Praise God. But you see, God's word still works. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. It still works. Somebody says, well, it's all grace. No, honey, it's the bird has two wings. Say it out loud with me. A bird has two wings. One wing is faith. The other wing is grace. We need both. We can't fly without both. Grace provides, but faith obtains. I know it drives some people crazy, but you see, faith obtains. You know, believing is the hand of faith that I got it again. Praise. Whew. I mean, sound people have a heart at coronary about that time, you know, when you throw that mic up. But you see, that's what happens. Faith reaches out and lays hold of the promises of God. Hallelujah. But God's word really does work. It really does work. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But thank God for the grace of God. Hey, Bob Nichols couldn't make it. You couldn't make it. None of us could make it without the grace of God. Thank God for grace. Amazing grace. It is amazing. But, you know, don't you dare think you can get by without faith in God. Amen. The bird has two wings. And you know, this church started on faith. We had nothing. We had nothing. We didn't have anybody to help us. I went to a businessman, said, if you ever start a church, I'll help you. I went to him, he said, well, things have changed. I went to somebody else and said, if you ever start a church, I really want to be a part of that. But they said, well, things have changed. Amen. But I went to a Baptist banker. He said, well, you've always paid your bills. And I borrowed $1,000 from a Baptist banker. He believed in me. And we opened the doors, put up the exit signs, and started having church after 2 or 3 weeks of cleaning up that building. And we've been working on the word ever since then. Hallelujah. This church is started by faith, continues by faith. It's living by faith. And that's the way I operate. That's the way you operate. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's word still works. Hallelujah. And in line with what I just got through saying, another lesson to learn in the leadership of God is God's grace is powerfully sufficient. Hallelujah. Boy, there's days when our faith is running low. Days when, you know, you just think, I can't make another day, can't make another hour. Have you ever been there? How many times and how many ways? You ever had your back up against the wall? You back away from the wall and it was imprinted with your back. Your back was against the wall. But you see, God's grace. I look back and God's kept me. God's kept me when I didn't know I needed to be kept. I mean, things have come to me after the fact. Did you know that so-and-so, I've had life threats. I have. I don't talk about that stuff. I don't talk about it. But it's happened in America just like it happened in Uganda. Just because you serve God, everybody doesn't love you. But guess who does love you? And he giveth his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Let me make another statement here. You know, grace has kept all of us when we didn't want to be kept. There might be some perfect... That my wife would qualify for that one. She's served God all of her life. I mean, she's the crown jewel of her family. Glory to God. Three brothers that did some different things. But that woman's always served God. She's always loved God. Amen. Gone to church, played the piano, Daddy and mother never gave them heartache, never gave them a run for their money, never gave them a hard time. My wife has been a precious woman of God. But some of the rest of us have needed a lot of grace. God's grace keeps you when you need to be kept. And you know, there's a time when God's grace keeps you when you don't have enough sense to know you need to be kept. I'm saying some things tonight. See, I've never heard you talk like that. Well, I'm opening up a chest here and letting you see some things. Thank God for amazing grace. But you've got to realize that. Thank God for grace. When you don't know what to do, when you've gone as far as you can go, when you don't have a clue what's going on, just relax. Hardest thing I ever had to do in the water was float. I learned to swim before I could learn to float. I was afraid to trust the water. I didn't want to get water in my ears. I didn't want to get water in my nose. And so, I'd get all tensed up. I like to never learn how to float. But you see, in swimming, you're fighting the water. You know, you got both hands out there. Oh, there's a time you need to learn how to float. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for grace. You know, there's another one I want to give you. In 2016, start expecting supernatural suddenlies. I've experienced some supernatural suddenlies financially. I've experienced some supernatural suddenlies politically, in acquaintance, in being at the right place at the right time. When 3 hours before that, you didn't have a clue what was coming down. You know, if you just get up and put on the whole armor of God, it's amazing what God will do with your day. Just get up and dress for miracles. I said, get up and dress for miracles. I'm not trying to be pretty with this. I'm just laying it out on the table. All right? Get up and dress for miracles. Hallelujah. Now let me show you something. Last week was a very exhausting week. Of course, my very dear, well, almost lifelong friend, Brother Glenn Shinn, Evangelist Glenn Shinn, we met in Bible college. He's been an evangelist as long as I've been a pastor, and I was associate pastor for a few short years. But I've been on the pastoral side and doing, as you know, overseas and evangelistic work and so on. But basically, I'm pastoral. I'm a pastor. I have a pastor's heart. And Brother Glenn is an evangelist, and he was an evangelist all of his life. And we had a very unique relationship. We met in Bible college. And they had a high school division that I was there for one of those years. And I didn't do so good for 1 year in the high school. I went down there to get away from home. I wasn't living for God. I was pretty slick with it, but I finally got caught with it. I wasted a year of my life. Wasted a year of my life. You know the story how that I was in that car that went out of control 97 miles an hour. Between my junior and senior year, and God spared my life, and that car gyrated all over that highway. It was a mess. And I got out of that car and I said, God, you've got my life, you've got all of it, you've got the rest of it. I will live for you, and if I fall on my face, I'll get up and run to you, not away from you. And 90 days later, I preached my first sermon in high school, and I've been preaching ever since. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. But Brother Shinn is, for the last, especially 2 or 3 years, here's a man that's driven all over the U.S. Here's a man that's been overseas. Here's a man that has done the work of God. And he's been an evangelist. And it was so wonderful. We'd talk at least once or twice a week. And he was an encourager. When he got to where he couldn't travel anymore, couldn't preach anymore, had to sell his car because he couldn't drive it anymore, he'd call me up and he said, Bob, I can't go out like I used to. But he said, I've got a phone ministry now. He said, every time God brings somebody to my remembrance, I get on the phone and I call them and I pray for them. He said, I'm calling ministers across America and encouraging them. I'm doing what I can do. This is all I can do. But instead of feeling sorry for himself that he had eyes that could hardly see and he was limited in what he could do, here's a man that's been an eagle all his life, but he's incapacitated to a certain degree. And I tell you, I honored Brother Glenn. And then he called me on a Thursday night and left the sweetest message, and then had a massive heart attack sometime in the next few hours, went to the hospital, and we were there. And from that point on, he was eternity bound one way or another. And then just in that short period of time, then he goes on to be with the Lord. You say, well, what about all that? Well, that's my story. That's my story. And it was very meaningful to me. It was very, very touching to me, and still touching to my heart. I'll tell you, people that are loyal, people that have both oars in the water, people that refuse to get offended, people that love you and know you, I tell you, they become more golden every day. Thank God for people that love you in the good times and the bad times and uphill and downhill. Amen. But back in Bible college days, I wasted a year. And when I gave my life to the Lord, a lot of people thought, well, you know, a lot of people didn't trust me. I know what you see and what you've seen the last few years. You'd think that, but I wasted a year. But you know who befriended me out of that? A man that came here from California by the name of Evangelist Glenn Chan. He befriended me and loved me and encouraged me. And I'll tell you, we were up and preaching, and it's been years we've been doing that. So the man goes on to be the Lord. Well, I know where he is. Sure, I know where he is, but I'm still human. You're still human too. Amen. And then you spend time with the family, and you spend time just some very strong, heavy moments. I mean, it had been a wall-to-wall week, strong week. And on Saturday, I'm supposed to preach Sunday morning, and I was called Brother Charlie. I said, Brother Charlie, I just don't have a leading. I want to know where I'm going. All things being equal, I like to at least have a clue where I'm going. And I thought, Lord, what in the world? And finally, I just knelt at the house there. Joy had gone to bed, and I said, God, I want you to do something tomorrow so powerful that man can't mess it up. God, give us a suddenly tomorrow. And Jerry's been sick, and she's well now. You're in the process of getting better. And we talked by phone. She said, by the way, Dino's here. And I said, she said, you want to meet? So I met him on the phone, but that's, you know, I'd never really met him in person. And I said, well, praise the Lord. And then get called Sunday morning. Well, you can come visit service. Well, that's okay. So he comes visit service. And I have a message. I have something I could preach, but I just didn't have that green light go ahead. And then you that were here, if you weren't here, please don't let us know, because we don't have enough counselors. I mean, the Holy Ghost just like a bomb was dropped on this place. God gave us a suddenly. And then he gave us another. I mean, it was a different kind of suddenly Sunday night. And it was a strong faith emphasis. And he's going to make a piano player if he keeps working on that, I'm telling you. He's like Phil Driscoll. He hits notes that aren't there. You know? But what I'm trying to say is, you know, just in the midst of what do? And the Spirit of God. God has a bunch of suddenlies for us in this year. Come to church with your suddenly whole armor on. Get up in the morning with a suddenly whole armor on. Expect the impossible. Expect the improbable. Hallelujah. God can do it. Hallelujah. God can do it. Moses on the backside of the desert spent 40 years thinking he is somebody, spent the next 40 years finding out he was nobody, and spent the last 40 years of his life finding out that God was everything. And a bush began to burn, but it was not consumed. And he turned aside Don't be too busy to turn aside for God's burning bushes. Don't be too busy to turn aside when the Spirit of God says, pray. Pray now. Witness now. See that person? Oh, God, they'd look like they'd kill me if I said anything. Be obedient to God. Oh, Lord, surely you don't want me to give that. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I've been saving that back to do something. God said, just try me. Just prove me now and see. Herewith saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Suddenlies. But you know, there's one more that I want to give you. And I'm just working on this. This is not the finished product. I'm you're guinea pigs tonight. Or guinea doves or whatever. I don't know. But let me just give you this. We've talked about the fact that God is faithful, that real godly love never fails. And oh, God, there's been some lonely days of walking in love. My Lord God. I mean, strongholds of years can be broken. We've talked about that. And then God gives supernatural strength if you'll just ask Him and just let Him do that. Praise God. And then God's Word still works. Faith in God still works. And then God's grace is powerfully sufficient. We can't live without it. Amen. You can't live without it. And then expect supernatural suddenlies. But here's another one that is very meaningful to me. Long-term godly relationships pay great dividends. Long-term godly relationships pay great dividends. They also can give you a great heartbreak. And I've experienced that also. Long term. It was back around 1981 or 82 that I met the owner of Wayne Blue Ford Company up in Stephenville. I was preaching for a church there, and you were running the sound, Brother Wayne. And I don't know, there's just something that clicked. We met. And then, of course, we both drove Fords, the car that God drives. And God. Just having a little fun with you there. But we were both car guys, and we were both God guys and church guys, and he enjoyed me coming up, and I'd go up there once or twice a year to Stephenville to preach in that church. That's not about 1982, wasn't it? Who would have ever thought that a man's going to be driving 2 hours with his wife one way coming to this church, and some folks can't drive one block? Figure that one out. Long-term relationships. Someone said, well, why do you do that? He said, because the groceries are good. When we go, he passes God knows how many churches. And I'm not against churches, but I mean, you just need to know where your company is. You need to know where God's called you. You know, I've preached for years, and I really have been a little derelict in not preaching. I believe God calls people to a church just as surely as he calls a pastor to a church. I believe God calls people to a church just as surely. I look at Dr. Stumbo and Bess there. Dear God, as I've often said, you've seen me at my worst, and you've seen me hopefully at some of the best over a period of time. But thank God. You know, it can be done. You can behave and stay in a church and do the right thing and keep the right spirit if you'll just stay away from the naysayers. Just stay away from the folks that don't believe. You know, stop listening to that 10 Spies Network. You know, you got to tune into the 2 Spies Network. Amen. It can be done. It's not a bad, we're not that bad around here. It's a pretty good church. I know because I'm pastor. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Long-term relationships pay great dividends. I think of a pastor that God sent to my little home church. Brother Carl Alcorn took a personal interest in me. A little boy. First John Wayne I ever saw in the ministry. We had 5 pastors in 4 years. Man, they were like revolving doors. And I mean all 30 or 40 people run them off after about a year. Brother Alcorn took the church. He said, God called me here. That's the last vote you'll have until I'm ready to go. He said, you just might as well settle down and help me build a church here. And he did. Praise God. And as a boy, I thought, wow, I've never seen a preacher bold like that before. Amen. What an impact that man had on my life. Oh, dear God. Thank God and his son and family. And then I married his daughter and son-in-law, and they've been our CPAs with some of the largest ministries in America over a period of time. Praise God for Jim Gwynn. God bless him. And Brother Jerry Alcorn. And then I met a man by the name of J.C. Thompson. And the best thing about him was he had a good-looking daughter. Had three honorary boys, but had a good-looking daughter. Dear God, had a good-looking daughter. And I met her under a shade tree at Bible College and rescued her from the wolves. Amen. And I said, Will found she melted. Amen. God's given us a good life. God's given us a good life. God's given us a good life. Even when Joy doesn't feel the best, I tell you, boy, she loves to pray. She loves to worship God. I mean, if you ever watch her around here, she sees somebody needs some help or somebody needs encouragement. She went in that room the other night when there was great sorrow of bereavement, and my wife was like a light from heaven. I mean, just the anointing of God was upon her. Thank God J.C. Thompson had a good daughter, the only daughter, and I got her. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I just think how God brought so many people into our life, brought Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin into our life. I'd been around church all my life, but I'd never really caught on to faith that God said what he meant what he said, that the Word of God was not just a good book and had a lot of good stories, but that God said what he meant what he said, and if you believe it, it'll happen for you. And God sent him to the church where we were associates there, and we met in that little 18-foot travel trailer with that worn-out Oldsmobile slick tires when he had only one or two books in print. When he passed away, what was it? What does he have, 200? Brother David, 200, 300 books in print? Brother, yeah, something like that. And he told me on more than one occasion, he said, you know, everybody in the church didn't get a hold of the faith message. And that's the way it is. 500 heard go to the upper room, 120 did it. Four soils in Mark 4, only one soil brought forth 30, 60, 100 fold. The majority of the church did not receive the faith message back then. And there was a day when cobwebs were in that place. But Brother Hagin, he said, you know, Brother Bob, I believe God sent us to Fort Worth for you and Sister Joy to pour into your life. I'm going to tell you, it makes a difference where you hang out. It makes a difference where you worship. It makes a difference where you go. It makes a difference what you listen to. You can listen to too many voices. You can listen to too many voices. You can be influenced by things that confuse you. But know what you need to hear and hold steady. Hallelujah. If there's anything that's kept me over these 51 years, when I hear from God and I know God, I draw a straight line. I was up in Canada, and we were at the stock show the other day. Those big old tracks. You ever seen those big tracks? I mean, big wheels. I mean, I'm not even at the top where those four wheels were. They got some big, and they have them here in the States too. But I went out on a farm, and they said, we want you to see our tractor. And I got up in the tractor, big old monster thing. Man, they got television. They got everything but a bathroom, I think. And big old. And he said, now you're going to drive this tractor. I said, man, I like to play with machinery, but man, this is not in my league. He said, I said, how you do it? He said, Brother Bob, see that fence post way down there? He said, put your eye on that fence post and start going toward it. And I learned a lesson years ago. Put your eye on the fence post. Put your eye on the goal. Hear what God says and start driving toward it. And we went right up to that fence post. He said, see, you're a better tractor driver and you've never driven one before. You know how you do it? You don't wobble all over the field, you know. Go with everybody's revelation and what everyone says and what everyone thinks about everything. Keep your eyes on the goal. And you eye that fence post and you go after it and you drive that tractor and it'll get there. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Just months before Brother Hagin went on to be the Lord, we were there in camp meeting and went by, he wanted to talk to me behind stage. We went behind stage in that big civic center. And we must have talked for an hour. And I said, Brother Hagin, they need you out there. You need to go out there and preach. He said, I know what I'm doing. He said, I'm doing exactly what I want to do. That's the same thing he told me when we were in that little post office building. We'd just been there, and it was still rough. Oh, it was rough. I mean, little old rinky-dink seats, and, you know, it wasn't much to shout about. Had a platform that had two pieces of plywood, and you had nowhere to stand, or it'd flip up on you, you know. Still under construction. He called me on the phone, and he said, Brother Bob, you ready for a meeting? And I said, Brother Hagin, yeah, I want you for a meeting, but I said, give us a few months here, get a few people. He said, that's not what I asked. He said, you ready for a meeting? I said, well, Brother Hagin, you don't understand. We want to have a little money for you when you come. And he said, Brother Bob, I'm going to ask you one more time. Do you want a meeting or not? I said, come on. And he came on, and it was amazing. God brought people in, and God brought money in. Because when you put your eye on the fence post, your tractor's going to get there. Hallelujah. Put your eye on the fence post. Your tractor's going to get there. Praise God. He came out after that service, went all the way across that auditorium, went up to where we were seating, laid hands on me, prophesied, and went out in the Spirit. Two seats behind me for an hour was out in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, twice God blessed us with going out to Oral Roberts' residence there in California, one time just shortly before he passed away, and laid hands on, and there were other ministers there too, laid hands on us. Praise God. Hallelujah. I didn't fall out of a turnip truck yesterday. I didn't start doing this last week. I've been doing this a few years. I do know something about God. I know something about the Word of God. I may not do it like everybody else does it, but I keep my eye on the fence post. And in 51 years, we haven't quit. We haven't given up. I've still got the same wife. I've still got the same Bible. I've still got the same faith. And I've got a new zeal of the Lord. We're going to finish what God called us to do. We're going to finish it. We're going to finish it. Glory to God. I think of J.O. Lowry. He was in my home church when Brother Alcorn was there. He was an old bachelor, never had married. When we started a church, he showed up. He and Brother Wayne Cooper showed up. I think there was there two or only three men that showed up that first Sunday. And Brother Lowry, I said, Brother Lowry, what are you doing? He said, Elder, he said, God sent me here to help you build this church. And he helped. We'd work hours in the old post office building. He was a carpenter. He'd go home. I'd buy him hamburgers as long as he could stand up. And then he'd go home and sleep a little while and go out and work on his job and be back the next night. We'd meet that night. We put up walls. We did all kind of stuff, things I was never trained to do. But I just think of knowing that man, how many years I'd known that. Long-term godly relationships pay great dividends. And you know, there's another P.S. to that. Also, God blesses the beginning of new friendships and new relationships. When they're on track. And I'm going to tell you, if God's put you in this house, don't let a stick of dynamite blow you out of here. If God's put you in this house, don't let a stick of dynamite blow you out of this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, you heard my message two Sundays ago. A woman by the name of Burla Tillman. When our missionaries were going to Grenada, on the radio broadcast, I said, we need a $17,000 down payment for that property in Grenada. Got a $17,000 check through the mail. First time we'd ever had anything like that happen. And that was the down payment on Grenada. And God gave us that headquarters building and then a church next door and then a television station. And then out of the little came the big, and it went to Uganda. And tonight, thank God, Brother Jay was showing me the photo of all of them standing there. Brother Copeland's granddaughter, and there's several others there in our television station. Hallelujah. 18 years on the air in a third world nation. Thank God, 50,000 watts driving the devil nuts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Long-term relationships. That woman's seed was sown 30 years ago, and the seed's still on the air. 30 years ago, a woman obeyed God. 30 years later, 30 years later, she's gone on to be with the Lord, went on to be with the Lord in December there. And I think of Brother Mike Magnuson. You know, it's something when you can go to heaven and look back and something you've done is still working 24/7. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, you've planted seed in this place. How many times? How many times? How many? I'm not trying to be fancy, but I'm just putting the food on the table. And praise God, just dish up what you need. You need all of it. But I'm telling you, God's word works. And God's callings are without repentance. In 1998, Satan came and he huffed and he puffed and he did everything in the world to kill our youngest daughter, Janet. Did everything he could. She should have died. For 90 days, she was in intensive care at Harris Hospital. 90 days, and I was in Jerusalem leading a tour there to Israel. I was in Jerusalem in the Sheraton Hotel when I got the call. Janet's, her sugar fell in her sleep and just, she should have died then. Joy found her. And then, of course, she went to the hospital. They wanted to pull the plug on her time and time again. Joy said, you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know who we are. You don't know what kind of people. We're faith people. We're faith people. And thank God tonight. She might have gotten weary, but she was here tonight. Praise God. And that miracle's still coming. You see, I've learned you don't quit on your first day and you don't quit on your worst day. Thank God since 1998, we've had precious women of this church coming. And what a blessing. Some of them are here tonight that have come and sown. I could not do, Joy and I could not have done a fraction of what we've done except for those that helped us. We've been able to go to Australia, been able to go to Israel, been able to go to New Zealand, over to England and across America and go to many different places to Canada because we had people here that were sowing seed into our Janet and into our family. You say, well, how can you preach healing and miracles when you got your own daughter that needs one? Because we don't quit. We haven't quit. The only way out is up. The only way out is up. I said the only way out is up for us, for you, for us, for you, for all of us. There have been times the last 3 or 4 years when Satan could have sucked this thing under, but he couldn't do it. Hallelujah. God has kept this church. God has kept us. Hallelujah. God has kept us. And tonight, I feel like there's a whole new fire burning in me. Praise God. I know there is. I know there is. Hallelujah. Long-term relationships. Don't have time to take that any further. Praise God. Thank you for believing in the vision. I've gone longer than I intended to tonight because we try to respect time a little bit more in the midweek services. But I'm here to tell you, you're in the right place at the right time. If you're a guest tonight, you're in the right place at the right time to hear this, to go do what God has called you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many years have we been associated, Brother Rufus? How many years? 33 years. Has it been a bad ride or a good ride? Hallelujah. Thank you for believing in us, and we believed in you, and tonight, we've been in Romania when the communists were just hardly leaving. And now, thank God, that country is blowing and going on for God. We went to Grenada after President Ronald Reagan delivered them from the Cuban Chinese communists. And thank God that island's been free ever since then. We've been to Uganda. And thank God the president said, tell your people thank you. Lighthouse Television has done more to get our nation up and going. It's done more to help me in re-election bids. You know, we've been a part of a lot of things. Hallelujah. Excuse me. I said, we've been a part of a lot of things. And the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Live every day expecting suddenlies. Live every day expecting suddenlies. Put on the whole armor of God. God's not through. God's not tired. God's not sleepy. Hallelujah. He's a mighty God. Stand to your feet tonight if you will. Praise God. I will teach you and instruct you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye.